The Bible says that we should rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Now that means, among other things, seeing the difference between two things in the Bible that are similar yet separate. Now this is important in studying what the Bible says about the end of the world. You see, there are two great events that the New Testament talks about. One is the judgment day, the end of time, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the other is a time of severe calamity that happened many centuries ago. And the language that is used in the Bible to describe this past event can sound like the end of time. But if we just slow down and let the Bible speak for itself, we'll be able to tell the difference. Now, ironically, the reason that many people don't understand what will happen at the end of time is that they don't realize the meaning and the significance of this event that took place long ago. This is why we're going to take some time to look at this event in the New Testament, and I'm talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 70 AD. Now, the first passage that we're going to look at is in the book of Matthew. The first main section that we'll examine is in Matthew 24. But before we get to Matthew 24, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus had been teaching in the temple, and he gave some indirect and then some direct warnings about a judgment of God that was going to come upon the Jewish people. Now, the first example of him giving an indication that this great judgment was going to take place is found in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 33, you have the parable of the wicked husbandman. And this is a parable about the Jewish nation. It's a parable about the Jewish people. Now, as was true in many parables, the people didn't realize that Jesus was talking about them until somewhat later after he gave the parable. So here in Matthew chapter 21, he tells this story about this vineyard, and that represents the Jewish people, and these wicked people who take care of the vineyard represent those Jewish leaders. Now Jesus then says in verse 40, "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto those husbandmen," the men who had been taking care of the vineyard, that is God's people? Now again, at this time, they don't realize that he's talking about them, but they will in just a few minutes. In verse 41, they say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men." They were the very wicked men that they're talking about here. "And he will let," that is, he will lease out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I say unto you," now notice very carefully what Jesus tells these Jewish leaders in verse 43, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you." Your national identity is going to be taken from you. The Jewish economy is going to come to an end. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, is going to be taken from you Jews and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, that is, the Gentiles. And he warns in verse 44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken," that is, whoever falls on Jesus, that stone will be broken in spirit, "but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." That again represents the judgment of God upon these sinful people. So here early in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is signaling this great event that we're talking about. Then when you come to Matthew chapter 22, you see another parable, and this is the parable of the wedding. And in that parable of the wedding, the man sends out these invitations, and the people turn those invitations down. Verse 5 says, "But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise." Now, this reminds us, in principle, of what people do today when they hear the gospel, but they're not interested, they're not concerned, they care more about their jobs, they care more about their possessions than they do about hearing the gospel. The same thing happened in the first century. And he's talking especially here about the Jews. And the Bible says that they mistreated these servants. And as a result, in verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now, if this parable then represents the Jewish people, if this parable is about the Jewish nation, and it says that this king is going to send his armies, and he's going to destroy those murderers and burn up their city, then what would that city be? Obviously, Jerusalem. This again signals this great event that we're talking about. Well, in Matthew chapter 23, let's turn to the next chapter in Matthew chapter 23. Here's where Jesus gives this scathing rebuke of the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. This is where Jesus calls them fools. He calls them hypocrites. And in Matthew chapter 23, toward the end of this chapter, here's what Jesus says beginning in verse 34. Now, this is his pronouncement of a coming judgment in this world, in their lifetime, upon the Jewish nation. Matthew 23, verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now, who is Jesus talking about here? He says, I'm going to send to you prophets and wise men and scribes. Well, he's talking about sending the apostles and the other disciples out, these early Christians out, to preach the gospel. And he says to these Jews, now again, he's not talking to the Romans here. This is not about the Roman persecution, which came later. He's talking about this first wave of persecution, which came from the Jewish nation. And he says, I'm going to send my disciples out. They're going to preach the gospel, and you're going to persecute them and chase them from city to city. You find that in the book of Acts. You're going to scourge them in your synagogues. You're even going to kill and crucify those men. And in verse 35, Jesus said, all this is going to come home to roost, so to speak. In verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Jesus said, their blood is going to be on your hands. Their blood is going to be required of this generation. God's vengeance is going to be executed in this generation and upon this generation of Jews. In verse 36, he said, verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Something tragic, some great calamity is going to come upon the Jews of that generation that Jesus was speaking to. What kind of calamity? Well, he's talking about the event that he referred to in verse 35. That all this righteous blood that has been shed upon the earth is going to come upon this generation. So whatever he's talking about here was going to happen in the first century. Whatever he's talking about would come upon the generation of Jews living at the time when he was saying these words. Now, with those things in mind, with the fact that in Matthew 21, Jesus signaled this great event by talking about the stone falling upon these people and grinding them to powder, by the fact that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 7, he signals the fact that these armies are going to come and that they're going to destroy those murderers and burn up their city. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 35 and 36, he says this is going to happen in this generation, the generation in which Jesus was living. Now then, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, because we have here Jesus explaining in detail what would happen in that generation. Now remember that Jesus has been doing all this teaching in the temple area. These Jews have heard it. And the Bible tells us that then he and his disciples went out, and as they were going out from the temple, the Bible says in verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, the actual temple, we'll call it the temple proper, was the central part of this area. It was the focus. This is where those religious activities took place. This is where the sacrifices took place just outside of that temple. But there were other buildings that surrounded that temple proper. And so this was a great place. It was a very beautiful set of buildings. And the Bible says that the disciples are showing Jesus all of these magnificent structures, and Jesus says something startling to them in verse 2. Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." All of this is going to be destroyed. Now, to say that to these Jews who had marveled at the beauty and the splendor of the temple was absolutely an amazing thing to say. How could that happen? When would it happen? They immediately wanted to know what he was talking about. Jesus said, all of this is going to be torn down. All of this is going to be destroyed. So when they get away from the temple and they go to the Mount of Olives where they're by themselves, then the disciples come to Jesus and they want to know more about what he said. They want to know what he's talking about when he said that the temple itself is going to be destroyed. So in verse 3, the Bible says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives," that's where they're at now, "the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" What things? Well, the very things that he just talked about in verse 2. He said, the time is coming when there's not going to be one stone left upon another. All this is going to be torn down and destroyed. They want to know when. And they also want to know, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? How will we know when this is about to take place? Because this is going to be a very dangerous situation. If the temple is going to be destroyed, then they didn't want to be there when that happened. So they want to know when that's going to happen, and they want to know what signs are going to lead up to it so that they can get out of there or stay away from that place when that time is about to come. And they also want to know about the end of the world. And so in this section that follows, in Matthew 24 and in Matthew chapter 25, because you have to remember that Matthew didn't divide the book of Matthew into chapters. And so in this entire response that Jesus gives, he's going to talk about the very questions that they raised to him here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And so as you begin in verse 4, Jesus starts talking about some of the signs that will lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, before we actually look at those words and discuss them, I'd like for you to do something with me. I'd like for you to go back to Matthew chapter 23 and look at verse 36 again. Matthew 23, verse 36. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation," his generation, the generation that he was living in, and the generation of people that he was talking to. Now then, look at Matthew 24, verse 34. Matthew 24, verse 34 says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." So that tells us that everything from the last part of Matthew 23, going all the way through to Matthew 24, verse 34, happened in the generation that Jesus was living in. That's very important to remember, and we're going to see the details of that in the very next lesson.